double-dip setback for home prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon, in for Steve Chiotakis. Too many unsold homes, not enough willing or able buyers. That's the painful story in this morning's latest Case-Shiller Home Price Index. It shows home prices have relapsed to the same levels they were when the housing bubble popped back in 2006. On the line with us is Chris Mayer. He's a professor of real estate at the Columbia Business School. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
This seems like two steps forward, two steps back. Home prices down yet another month. How can we get a solid recovery when the housing sector just refuses to budge here?
The good news, so to speak, is that things can't get a lot worse. But, you know, in terms of the overall macroeconomy, we're already building so few homes that it's not going to make the employment situation worse than it is.
Well, how much longer, though, can our economy sustain these kinds of numbers?
I do think that if we continue to see house prices fall, the real risks are that homeowners are going to stop making their mortgage payments, lenders are going to get into trouble again. I don't think we're likely to see that at the pace we're going, but we're certainly not going to see much of a recovery.
Do you think it's possible that homeowners are going to start taking strategic defaults because they just don't see a way out?
This is the million-dollar or trillion-dollar question. So far, strategic defaults have remained as a significant but not a dominant force. If they start becoming a dominant force in the housing market, then everything changes. And the more prices fall, the more risk there is that that happens.
Well, we can only keep hoping. Chris Mayer is a professor of real estate at Columbia Business School. Thanks for joining us.
Good to talk to you, Bob.
The Federal Reserve has been doing what it can to keep mortgages and other interest rates cheap. But with the new month tomorrow comes the end of the central bank's $600 billion bond buying program known as quantitative easing. A lot of investors are worried how markets will react. Here's our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore.
Michael Mata has been an investor in the bond markets for over 20 years. At ING Investment Management, he runs a big bond fund, like the one you'd find in your 401k. These days, Mata is thinking a lot about how he'll react when the Federal Reserve stops buying Treasury bonds.
Philosophically, you know, one of the sayings in the business is if you're going to panic, panic early.
Even savvy investors can't predict what the end of the Fed's program will mean. Think of the bond market like a pool in your backyard, and the water level as the price of the bonds. The Fed, this giant 800-pound gorilla, is sitting in there and making the pool look full. It looks safe now. But investors like Mata are afraid they're going to dive in when the gorilla leaves and hit their heads really hard.
It makes it much more difficult to gauge what's real. Just as in 07, when your house was up 40%, you knew in the back of your mind part of that probably isn't real.
Mata says it's hard to tell which bonds will be attractive after the Fed leaves.
It makes the job and the investment process a little trickier.
It's just as tricky in the stock market. Low interest rates and a lot of investors looking for higher returns in stocks. Peter Buchvar plans investment strategies for Miller Tabak. He says the Fed pumped the market full of steroids. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has jumped about 24% in 10 months. But Buchvar predicts the index will fall as much as 15% when the Fed finally stops buying.
Markets won't like it because they've become so accustomed to it.
But like Mata, Buchvar is happy to say good riddance to the Fed's program.
At some point, it has to end. At some point, the economy has to be left alone. At some point, the training wheels have to come off, and the U.S. economy has to grow on its own.
Investors are still nervous. For all their faith in American capitalism, it's been a long time since they've seen the markets work without the government's help. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
So how are the markets reacting to this morning's mix of numbers? Wall Street has pulled back a bit from early session highs under the weight of those dismal home price numbers, but new hopes for a fresh round of financial aid for Greece are providing some buoyancy. The Dow is still up by 70 points right now, better than 0.5%. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500, both up by similar margins.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Some breaking news out of Washington this hour. The AP reports President Obama is expected to nominate a new Commerce Secretary today. The story names businessman John Bryson as the designated replacement for outgoing Secretary Gary Locke. For some background, let's turn to Marketplace's Gregory Warner. Good morning. What can you tell us about Mr. Bryson?
Well, Mr. Bryson is the former CEO of Edison International. It's a California-based energy company. He's also served on corporate boards of Boeing and Walt Disney, but he's also got an extensive background in environmental issues. So he was the co-founder of the Natural Resources Defense Council and served on a UN advisory group on energy and climate change.
And what kind of task is he going to be walking into?
Well, the job of a commerce secretary is as much to boost trade and exports overseas as it is a means for the business community here at home to have the president's ear. So President Obama not bucking the trend here. Like other presidents, he's appointed a very business-friendly person to the job and in that trying to shore up his relationship with the business community. But it is significant that Bryson's expertise is energy and environmental issues because those are going to be huge issues in the coming decade. Of course, we all know about oil and oil prices, but there's also China's growing solar business, and environmental issues in China will be key to work out. So, you know, Bryson's got a full plate.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Again, businessman John Bryson is the Secretary of Commerce nominee. Did you hear this amazing tale growing out of the tornado that ravaged Joplin, Missouri? Seems somebody in Indiana picked up a piece of paper from the ground and noticed that it was a receipt from a tire store in Joplin. We're talking 525 miles downwind, so the finders quickly contacted a storm researcher to report their amazing discovery. Look what the wind blew in. The Purdue University expert figured the paper traveled more than twice as far as the longest distance ever for debris from a storm. Except, turns out this incredible discovery wasn't credible. Seems it belonged to someone who'd been visiting the area. This person recalled doing business in Joplin earlier in the month and then simply left the receipt behind the other day in Indiana. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Our friends at Freakonomics Radio have come up with a simple way to determine whether something should be illegal or not. It's called the daughter test.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, I'd rather have her be, you know, a great economist. But if she had to be something, a professional poker player wouldn't be a bad thing for her to turn out to be.
I'm Tess Vigeland, online poker and other illicit trades. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.